You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wait, can you hear my cat in the background?
I hear something jingling. But, you know, some people are already putting out Christmas decorations, so.
Every time I lay down on this bed, she jumps up and headbutts me.
Well, I mean, Paul Banks has his cat on in the background for the Let's Get Weird podcast, so.
Emmylou will get on here and talk if you want her to.
And Brown picked off at midfield. Intercepted at the 49 by David Dowell. On the jet sweep, touchdown, right! And Purdue, with seconds to go in the third quarter, make it a four-point game. Lyle coming back the other way, complete. And what a hit, and a strip. Thompson, the ball came loose, and the Spartans got it. Incredible! Deal with adversity well today on the reverse. Naylor, still on his feet. The freshman ready to go. Touchdown. This Michigan State defense, they came to play, they showed up, and they showed out and really helped get Michigan State back to a victory. They end up winning it 23-13.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you might be listening, and welcome to the Hammer and Ales Football Podcast. This is episode number 8 for us. Obviously, I am not Travis. Travis is somewhere. I actually have no idea what he's doing. But my name's Juan, coming to you live on tape from the West Coast and just down the street from the Rose Bowl. Literally, I am only 10 minutes from the Rose Bowl. Anyway, joining me, we have Drew Schneider. How are you doing, Drew?
Good. I'm in the Little Apple of Manhattan, and I am only about 5 minutes down the road from the Bill Snyder Family Stadium. So very, very similar, I feel.
I wonder who we're able to see worse football from right now down the street. UCLA, who plays in the Rose Bowl, or Kansas State?
Ironically, they played in a bowl game last year, and Kansas State drug them up and down the field. Yeah, this year,
UCLA stuff?
Yeah, this year it would probably not be as entertaining.
Yeah, last week I actually went to the UCLA-Utah game because I always wanted to go to the Rose Bowl. And yeah, UCLA is bad. It's almost a disgrace that they get to play in the Rose Bowl. Like, they don't deserve to play in there when they're so bad. But you know what? Maybe that's just a podcast for another time.
I just have one question before we move on to that. Who is having the worst return to football? Chip Kelly or John Gruden?
Ooh.
Right?
I would say probably Chip Kelly, because at least he had some success before.
I don't know on Super Bowl, but it's been a while.
Yeah, Gruden, I don't know. It's like Gruden's just been on the air forever, or at least like, you know, maybe the past few seasons or so, whereas like Chip Kelly, he just, ever since he left Oregon, just not good.
Yeah, and one more note from the game, from the NFL game tonight. Raheem Mostert had a really good game going until he snapped his arm in half. It was gross.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be watching that replay.
No, me neither. I can't watch that. Somebody said it on Twitter and I was like, no, not gonna watch this clip. But that's a tough break for Raheem, and he's been the guy that's just been plugging along in the NFL special teams and practice squad guy, and was finally getting his big break as a running back. And at least it's an arm injury, which, as far as breaking a bone goes as a football player, is probably preferable to a leg injury.
Do we know which arm it was, left or right?
No, I just heard broken arm, snap, gross. Ugh. And I said, no.
If it was his left arm, he's probably all right now. And Raheem, if somehow you're listening to this and it is your left arm that's broken, I hope that gives you a little chuckle.
Yeah.
Why are you listening to our podcast? You have better things to do, probably.
He may have some time on his hands right now.
True. And I mean, and this is our second attempt at this podcast, because we tried recording on Monday when Drew was in South Carolina. We would have had a coast-to-coast podcast, and I guess the internet is terrible in South Carolina. Our attempt to record the podcast went as well as Purdue's attempt on Saturday to win the game. And with that, we'll transition into covering the Michigan State game. So, Drew, what the hell happened?
All right, I'm going to keep this short and dirty because no need to dwell on the past. So the offense was just bad. David Blau has played his worst game of the season and one of probably his worst games since maybe he got pulled in the Minnesota game last year. Our red zone offense was terrible. We were kicking field goals instead of touchdowns. We got inside the 10-yard line and settled for a field goal. We got inside the 25 and settled for a field goal. Just couldn't put it together on offense. And then we need to be good on offense to win. Our defense, I felt like, held up okay. We only gave up 23 points. And like I said in my article, if you told me we were only going to give up 23, I would have bet a lot of money on Purdue. Because Purdue should be able to score 24 points against Michigan State. And they should have. The points were there. We just refused to accept them.
Right. Well, Michigan State's been pretty good on short field situations. Their defense is just weird. They have a very good run defense, but their pass defense is one of the worst.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, I've been saying this in the group chat all week, it was just like, it's almost as if they realize, it's like, hey, if we just use our run defense to not give Blau any time and just run through their offensive line, then maybe I'll give our pass defense a chance. Do you think that's kind of what happened there?
Yeah. I mean, our offensive line had trouble. I feel like Blau was taking so long to make decisions in that game as well. Some of that pressure was on him because I felt like he had some chances to get rid of the ball early, and he was really staring down a lot of his primary receivers and not coming off of them and trying to wait for them to break open instead of just getting the ball out of his hand. It was probably the worst game of the year for our offensive line, who I feel like has really really come along since the beginning of the season. But Michigan State, that's what they're built on, is that tough defensive line and two really good defensive ends, and that gave us a lot of trouble. And then on the defensive side, we just couldn't get any pressure on the quarterback. We tried. Nothing really worked. But we did pretty well of hanging in, keeping them to field goals, keeping us in the game, even when Blau was throwing interceptions or we were having trouble in the red zone. And they had some drives that started off in good field position. But we didn't do anything real explosive on defense either that got them off the field or scored us some points. You know, the defense was average. The offense was bad. And that's sort of the game.
Yeah, I know people were really frustrated because they were pointing to the fact that this was Lombardi's first start. But what I was reading, you know, a lot of their offensive weapons on Michigan State side had been injured. But what I was reading was that Lombardi had been taking snaps in practice for 2 weeks now. And the only reason why he didn't start the week before against Michigan was because Lewerke, you know, since it was a rivalry game, he wanted to play. But so Lombardi, like, you know, there's a big difference between practicing and game time, obviously, but it's not like he was coming into this offense brand new as well. And maybe we underestimated that or overestimated.
Yeah, no, he did a really good job. I was surprised as well. I thought Michigan State would run the ball more, but we really stopped him from running the ball. I don't think Scott did very much of anything. Lombardi had some runs, broke the pocket, and then he's got a strong arm, and he was really you could see the difference between his passes and Blau's passes all day, where he was putting him on. They're hitting those in cuts and out cuts, and he was putting the ball right on his receivers, and the ball was getting there quick, where Blau's passes were sort of floating. I don't know if he was having some trouble with the ball or the weather or just the pressure was bothering him. You could definitely see a big difference between arm strength between those two quarterbacks. So I think that was one of the things that really helped Michigan State, is Lombardi was gunning the ball in on those, you know, 8-yard, 9-yard routes. And that was really successful for Michigan State.
Yeah. MSU is probably the weird team in the East this year. Us and Northwestern are probably the weird teams in the West, but Michigan State, you know, they kind of struggled. They went 2-1 in their non-con. Like, they lost at Arizona State, but then they beat Penn State on the road as well. I mean, Penn State's not world beaters this year, but, you know, pretty much everyone wrote them off going into that game. And then the week before, only 94 yards against Michigan, and then this week they just threw all over the place. So it's just weird. D'Antonio's teams are weird.
Yeah, they play to a lot of they're set up tough. they played a lot of our weaknesses. Defensive line has just given us trouble over the years. We didn't win very many games at all during the Hazel era, but went into Michigan State, and it's always sort of gray and crappy weather, and there's just nothing ever good happens there.
No, and crappy weather is D'Antonio's specialty. Like, that's a secret juice coming from the sky. It's well known among Michigan fans.
Right? No, I feel like the grass was extra long last Saturday. Like, the grass was long. It was sort of wet and cold. And, you know, that's built more for that slow grinding style that they like to play on defense, and not so much for our fast running style on offense. But, Juan, we should not dwell on the negative past things, as those things are unchangeable.
Right.
So we should focus on the future, or what is soon to be the present, and talk a little bit about Iowa. What do you think?
Our most hated rivals are coming to West Lafayette.
You know, when I think about Iowa, just hatred fills my heart.
So much hate.
I was just looking, watching some of their game film, and like, my hands were shaking, and I was sweating and just cursing. I could not. Ugh.
You didn't fall asleep from boredom by watching their offense?
Oh, well, yeah, eventually that happened. It sort of soothed me slowly into a more, it wasn't more like sleep, it was more of a coma.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like catatonic, like a fugue state, really, I would say. My eyes were seeing things, my brain stopped processing them, but I didn't really miss a lot, I don't think.
That's how Iowa wins their games, they just lull you into sleep.
Right, no, eventually you're just like, I can't watch another 3-yard run, and then they get a 5-yard run.
And then another 3-yard run.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, actually they threw a lot against Penn State. They threw it, Stanley was like something like 18 for 40. That may have had something to do with the score, but, you know, they tried to air it out. It didn't work very well because I think he threw 2 picks and no touchdowns and was through for, you know, less than 50, completely less than half of his passes.
But, well, and 2 of those interceptions, you know, one was deep in their own territory that led immediately to a Penn State touchdown.
Yeah.
And then the other one was a potential game winner that got intercepted because the wide receiver wasn't looking, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So passing, maybe they should just go back to their 3-yard runs because it doesn't seem like passing maybe not their deal.
Yeah.
Know who you are.
Right. And I knew that Iowa had a pretty good defense, but looking up the numbers today, like, I didn't realize how good they've been.
Yeah.
They're the second best in the Big Ten. It's kind of scary.
Well, they're 4th total defense. They are 4th best in the nation.
Right.
Yeah, they only give up like 264 yards a game, which, you know, we throw for way more than, I think we're throwing for like 330 a game or something crazy like that. So,
yeah, and they're
recently.
And I was looking up some of their games and I'm wondering, like, how did they give up like almost 30 points to Minnesota? And then I look and I realize like two or so of their touchdowns were like after Nate Stanley interceptions, and they returned it to like the 5-yard line. So
yeah, no, their defense is freaky. They're like 15th in the nation in sacks, 18th in passing yards allowed. They have a really strong run defense. They got 2 defensive ends that are just absolute monsters. And that's what really sort of concerns me for this game. So we had trouble with Michigan State's defensive ends, and these guys are even bigger. They've got a guy named Anthony Nelson, who's like 6'7", 275 on one end. And then AJ, and I'm going to slaughter his name. I'm just going to call him AJ. And he is like another guy that's about 6'5", 270. And he's basically Iowa's George Karlaftis. Like, he's probably the best recruit the program's ever had. Ironically enough, I was looking at 247. He's actually not the best recruit. He is the second best recruit they've ever had. The number one recruit for Iowa and Purdue during the ratings era is the same player. It did not end well.
Obviously.
Yeah, Kyle Williams, their number one all-time recruit during the ratings era.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend about this game, and he was texting me, and he was like, give me Boilers 52-21 this week. Disclaimer, I may or may not be drunk right now.
He was like, drunk.
you got to be crazy to think that Iowa would score, you know, 21 points, let alone Purdue scoring 52 points in this game. And I said, if we score 52, I assume 6 of those TDs are from pick sixes.
Yes, definitely. I feel like we've got to score something on defense, because I feel like this is another game where offense might struggle. Blau has trouble with some of those taller defensive ends. He's not a big guy. He has sort of a low release on a lot of his passes. You saw him get it batted down or tipped against Iowa a couple times. I think he has a little bit hard time seeing those outside routes with these big guys coming at him. It is definitely a game that is a cause for concern in that we need to score points to win, and it's hard to score points on Iowa without them helping you.
Yeah, and that seems to be – Iowa seems to be willing to give away some points as well. Unless you're Maryland, because they did shut them out the week before. It's definitely a game I'm not confident about.
No, I think really it's probably, I think Vegas probably has it about right. It's a 1 or 2, I think it's a 1 or 2 point game one way or the other, barring a barrage of turnovers from either quarterback. So that's going to be sort of the wild card, because I feel like this thing should be close unless one of the quarterbacks has a bad day. Everybody plays up to their, potential. I feel like this will probably be a 2-3 point game one way or the other.
It's definitely going to be one of those games where the first team to get to 20 is probably going to win.
Yeah, that might be true. That might be true, which does not bode well for Purdue. I feel like for Purdue to win this game, they need to get into the 30s. Our defense has been much better. But they're still not good. I mean, they're still really young. The defensive line doesn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback by themselves. So we have to send extra people. Our secondary is still not great. They've been better. I think we all may have gotten just a little bit too high on that Ohio State game.
Really?
Yeah. I think we all were just a scotch intoxicated by our victory. You know, we may have forgotten a few things about this Purdue team that didn't really show up against Ohio State, or Ohio State imploding sort of hid. Sort of like, you know, our pass defense isn't great. Our defensive line isn't great. Our linebackers are pretty good. It's still a work in progress.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, Ohio State still had almost 600 passing yards.
Yeah, Ohio State just couldn't put the ball in the end zone.
Right.
Which, you know, good for us, I guess. We played really good defense. We really covered those last 5 yards of the field hard, though. But, yeah, no, this is an interesting game. They're going to throw the ball. They've got their two leading receivers are Hankson and Fant, Noah Fant. They're both, like, 6'5", 245 tight ends. So that's going to put a lot of strain on our linebackers to get out in coverage. So I think you'll probably see Thienemann when they line up. They're going to their two tight end sets. If we're playing man, I think you'll probably see Thienemann on one and Bailey on the other. But still, it's a pretty big size disadvantage on both of those guys. So that is the only real troubling thing that Iowa brings on the offensive side that we may not normally see. But as you're saying, they're bad on offense. They're 78th in the nation in rushing and 74th in passing. We can stop them, hopefully.
Right. I was joking as well with someone else. It's like, you know, if Iowa and Michigan make it to the Big Ten championship game, that's going to be like a 5-3 game.
Right. Like the Big Ten, our side of the bracket, our side of the conference has probably the two most boring teams, two of the three most boring teams in the nation being Wisconsin and Iowa. And Wisconsin and Iowa play each other. I feel like it should always be in a blizzard. I feel like that's the only thing that really brings any interest is full whiteout conditions.
It's true. So I mean, I did watch the entirety of the Iowa-Wisconsin game for some reason.
What is wrong with you, Juan? Are you having trouble sleeping at night? Is that energy?
Well, at least like on the West Coast, you know, that game was at 4 o'clock. So it's just, you know, something to watch while I eat dinner.
All right.
You know, it's like an airplane movie at that point.
True. You're like watching a rerun of The Office, and you just look up every now and then, and you already know all the words. And probably very similar to Wisconsin, Iowa.
I still pay attention to The Office, you know, even if I'm on like my third or fourth time watching it. So
anyways, yeah, Wisconsin, Iowa is terrible. Michigan is super boring on the other side, and I agree. An Iowa-Michigan game would be an eye bleeding, painful slog.
But as someone with a Michigan degree, I would welcome Michigan in the Big Ten championship. And someone not Wisconsin representing the West.
Yeah, no, I feel like I, as a Clemson grad, I would really love to see Michigan in that third spot in the playoffs, because you have score points to beat Clemson and they can't score. I think it ended a lot like the Ohio State Clemson game did a few years ago.
Well, at least Michigan's offense is better than last year, but that's not saying much.
Yeah, I mean, that's really not hard. I think I could have probably been just as effective as any of their quarterbacks last year.
But this is a Purdue podcast, then.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm the one who's supposed to be like talking about Michigan and all this stuff. Here you are taking over.
All right, yeah, but you know what? I will say this Iowa game is important because Iowa has this sneaky little pipeline into Indianapolis that we really need to cut off. They've taken the last two classes. They've taken four really important players out of Indianapolis, guys that we would love to have on our team right now. And so I think we need to put the Hawkeyes in their place and sort of turn off the water on that little Indy connection that they've been, you know, pulling all these guys out of state that we would like.
Hey, if Purdue wins, then it really hurts Iowa's chances of going to the Big Ten championship game. So maybe it could help them not get to Indy.
That would definitely help
us down there.
I don't understand how anybody would show up and be like, Iowa, yes, this is where I want to be.
You're like, ooh, maybe I can help the offense score into double digits on its own.
Yeah, all right. Well, actually, all these guys are defensive guys, or most of them are. Well, Tyrone Tracy, I guess, was a running back. And then Julius Brent and DJ Johnson were both defensive backs. We would have loved to have it Purdue on this team right now. They'd both, at least one of them, Brent would probably start for us right now. And I think, so, you know, that was a guy that would have been really nice to pull out of Indianapolis. I think he was from Warren Central. And then 2019, Justin Britt, who's the best offensive lineman in the state, and he's also at Warren Central, committed to Iowa right now, which is super lame.
That is.
I'd like, because it would be very nice to have him on the squad as well coming in. But, you know, we can't get everybody.
Right.
So, but I would like to kick them out of the state as quickly as possible.
It's true. I don't really have too much more on my end. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up this podcast?
I do. I have one quick thing to say. My hate article on Shaking the Southland on Louisville will be out tomorrow morning. And if you guys are sick and tired of listening to Louisville fans write love letters to our coach, go ahead and pick it up on the Clemson SB Nation site. Take a look because I'm tired of them too. And I've said some mean things.
We're all tired of them.
Right?
I've only interacted with Louisville fans at volleyball games, and even there, they were pretty damn annoying.
Well, in this article, I said that Lamar Jackson was the shiny kernel of corn in the crap sandwich that is Louisville football. So
it's true.
It goes down from there. So, yeah, they need to keep their hands off our coach. Stop writing him letters.
What's amazing is, like, you know, 2 years ago, you know, Louisville and Purdue were, like, a huge difference. Like, it definitely seemed like Louisville was a much better job, but now Brohm has brought up Purdue and Louisville has come down that most non-Purdue fans and like unbiased people are thinking that would kind of be a lateral move at this point.
Yeah, no, Louisville is a tough job. Purdue is a better job than Louisville in every way, as far as we have good facilities, we're in a good conference. But think about this, if he were to go to Louisville, he would have to have Louisville better than Florida State and Clemson to win their division. And you say Florida State now, but at the same point, they've still got the number 10 recruiting class in the nation coming in. So
it's true.
They care about football. So I think Florida State will be back sooner rather than later.
Right. But I will say this. Brohm does not say no to a challenge. As much as I want him to stay in West Lafayette, I would not be surprised if Brohm is like, you know what? I will take on that challenge and try to out-recruit Clemson and all that, even if it might be undoable. But
yeah, it's completely undoable because, like, Clemson and Florida State, geographic advantage alone, you know, Clemson is right there, right right smack dab next to Georgia and Florida, and that's where we pull, and South Carolina, North Carolina, that's where we pull all their players, our players. And Louisville's sort of the, you know, basketball school in the middle of in Northern Kentucky, trying to out-recruit Big Ten schools for big guys that have probably grown up watching Big Ten players or games. And they're trying to recruit them to go play in the ACC. And so I feel like that Louisville job, man, it's a tough job. The athletic department's a trash fire. You know, their name kept coming up over and over again. Basketball program's name kept coming up in that Nike or the Adidas trial. They don't have an athletic director, like I said. You know, they just had to take Papa John's name off the stadium. I mean, it's a bad time in Iowa, right, or Louisville right now.
We hope it becomes a bad time in Iowa.
Well, it'll be a maybe. Bad time in Iowa on Saturday.
I mean, it's Iowa. It can't get any better.
I don't even know. Like, I know my wife had a job opportunity at Iowa State, and she was like, no, it is significantly more boring than Manhattan.
Kansas. Yeah, my brother used to live in Waterloo, which is kind of in the center, northeast part of Iowa. And I just remember crossing the Mississippi whenever we went to go visit him. And that was the worst part. It was like, we still got another 2 hours of this. I mean, now he lives in like the Quad Cities, so along the Mississippi. So, and I haven't visited him since. So at least he's not too far in Iowa now. But
yeah. I can't think of anything good about Iowa. I like Indiana corn better. I said it.
Bold words.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than, and what else do they have?
I mean, they have ghost baseball players. And if you just build the baseball field, they'll come because there's nothing else to do. Even the ghosts are bored.
Yeah. Yeah. No, everybody is bored in Iowa. Everybody is bored in Iowa. And you would think that would inspire Iowa to put like an exciting team on the field, but I feel like the like boredom pull of Iowa is just so much that you can't overcome it, and you just
they're just emulating their surroundings, and this is probably why Iowa fans drink so much.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely have to drink a lot to be an Iowa fan, just ungodly amounts, really. I mean, every week to see that same, it'd be watching like a good Daryl Hazel team. I know that's a hard thought to even get your brain around, a good Daryl Hazel team. But it'd be like watching that, like you're still like bored and you're like, how is this happening? What's going on? But Iowa wins a lot of those games.
Yeah. Speaking of Hazel, well, not really. But as I mentioned, I was at the UCLA game on Friday. And I think even at its worst under Hazel, the experience and feeling in Ross Ade was better than whatever the hell UCLA does in the Rose Bowl.
Well, yeah, I always assume just because there were probably less people, but in a smaller space. I feel like you've got that giant stadium and only like 45 people.
Well, and like at least Purdue students still showed up. That was a big thing. Like UCLA's campus is not close to the Rose Bowl at all.
The UCLA students are in Los Angeles and the Purdue students are in West Lafayette. So I'm assuming that there are more entertainment options.
Right. It's not like there's also a World Series game going on at the same time. And, you know, it was a Friday night. So people are like, well, it's going to take like 2 hours just to get to the Rose Bowl from Westwood.
Yeah. UCLA is trash. Trash and garbage. The whole Pac-10 is.
Pac-12.
Pac-12. I'm sorry. They should only be 10.
It's okay.
I'm ready to go back to our normal conferences. Just every time I see Maryland, I'm like, stupid ACC. They're like, wait, no, they're not in the ACC. We don't play them anymore.
And to think if like Colorado and Utah were not in the Big Ten or Pac-12 right now, they're probably like the two of the better teams right now. Yeah. Like and the traditional like, Pac-10 schools are bad.
Yeah, and like Clemson gets so confused every year when we have to play Syracuse in football. Like we don't even show up. We're just like, wait, what? It's the middle of the year and we're playing a team from New York? This makes no sense.
And they're orange? Like, no.
Yeah, no.
Only we can be orange.
It really, really confuses us. So I want to go. I'm ready to go back to our normal conferences. I'll write Jim Delaney a letter, strongly worded letter.
Send them back to the Big East.
Yes, let's reform the Big East because all those teams are trash, man. Think about that. Football? Who out of the Big East is like Miami was supposed to be so good, and they've been a total waste.
I mean,
ACC money. West
Virginia has been all right.
Who?
West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia. I know, they're just They're just another Big 12 team, you know, that'll throw the ball for all game, but then every now and then that doesn't work and they lose right. to like Iowa State. Yeah, you know, West Virginia's all right. Virginia Tech's been kind of terrible. Louisville's now
Boston
terrible.
College used to be in the Big East, and they're okay.
Yeah, Boston College, yeah, they're okay. They're, you know, we saw Purdue beat their brains out. They're a lot like Iowa. Just super boring to watch. If they can't run the ball, they don't win. But I'm ready, Juan. Let's go back. Let's go back to where things used to be. I remember
be okay
the
with
90s.
That.
Well, anyways, we should probably jump off this nostalgia train.
And, right. This was a very long last thoughts for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I have a lot of thoughts and I don't see a lot of people during the day. So, you know, I appreciate the outlet.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I know there's not much to do in Kansas either.
There's really not. Like I said, I went to the Kansas State women's basketball game today, the exhibition. I feel like it set the game of basketball back at least 50 years. They won 50-48. It was as painful as the score indicates.
But still somehow better than Purdue women's basketball right now. Ayo!
Oh, I don't know about that, but yeah.
Anyway, on that note, for Drew, this is Juan signing off, and Boiler Up.
Boiler Up.